Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on you bros. Hi, I'm Ronnie. Guess who I'm with? His name is Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I am so good. Just hanging out here on a lovely Thursday morning with you.
Well, congrats on being a homosexual. You did it.
We did it. We made it to our month. It's so exciting.
Yeah, I'm gay as hell. Happy Pride, everybody. My nieces keep just pointing at rainbow things and going, look, uncle. I'm like, yes, guys. Okay, it feels like gay bashing at this point. Like, can we go through a store without you being like, that's gay? Like, I've been gay your whole lives. Okay, mm-hmm. You little brats. They're like, look, you're gay. I think it's just fun for them to go, you're gay, uncle, really loud in the store.
Yeah, I've had some very well-meaning straight people really overshoot the mark in their gay pride happiness for me. Like, they've, like, it happened twice this weekend. This one girl, I went to a wedding, and this one girl, I made some joke. I was like, well, you know, our month is coming up. And she goes, oh, what month is that? I was like, gay pride. She goes, oh, that's exciting. So what are you going to do for it? I was like, oh, no, I was just joking. I'm not, like, it's fine. It's just, like, it's a nice thing. And she's like, oh, so do you celebrate it often? I was like, I regret ever joking about gay pride month. And I was like, I was trying to tell her, like, it's thank you. But she was like really earnestly, very much asking me about, like, what do you do for gay pride? What meals do you cook for gay pride?
Nothing.
What
are the things, with carbs.
What are the activities?
Yeah. It's, I mean, I don't know. You thank old gays for their service. That's what you do.
That's right.
So you're welcome, children.
As you should. Always thank old gays for so many different reasons.
Yeah. Thank them for their service, their toils and troubles in the past. But for real, thank you, older gays. And, you know, to the younger ones, you're welcome. Yeah. I really didn't have to do much because the older gays beyond us kind of did everything already. I just showed up and ate the dinner at the party. So, but thank you, older gays. Love you. Mean it. But seriously, I say everything like an asshole, but I do really mean it. Okay, so today is...
I'll just let you work through this.
I'm missing a sincerity chip where even when I'm trying to be sincere, I can't. Like, my voice won't do it.
We've been doing this for too long. This is what happens. You put two queens on a podcast for 10 years, and in the end, we just always sound like we're sarcastic about something.
No more gay pride than this podcast. There's nothing more gay pride than
this
show. That's for sure. So, everybody, welcome to the show. Today is Crappens on Demand. Hi, you can see my new pen top on my Apple Pencil.
Oh, look at
that.
Wow.
How gay is that?
Talk about gay pride. I went off
brand and bought a new top on Amazon.
Listen, if there's any month to celebrate tops, this is the one.
they're in short supply, Lord knows. So I got this. I don't even use this, really. I was just using this today to cut Crystal and Sutton's head out for the episode art for this. But that's really the only reason I have this $9,000 pencil. Okay, so thanks, you know, Apple. Apple Pride Day.
I was thinking about after this actually doing something crazy, purchasing my first wearable in the form of an Apple Watch. Isn't that crazy? I might join the Apple Watch world.
Oh.
Speaking of Apple accessories, and now you getting a little topper for your pen makes me be like, I can't hold back anymore. You know, like when we have this effect on each other, like when you get something, then all of a sudden I want to get something and vice versa. Or I think vice versa. Maybe I'm just the one who follows.
No, it's mostly me who does it with you.
Either way. So that was like what just put me over the top. Like, I'm going to get an Apple Watch today. Ronnie got a thing for his pen. I'm going to get an Apple Watch.
I've had an Apple Watch for years and you've never gotten it. You've always been like, well, I'm not into watches. I mean, I have a phone.
I have a cuckoo clock.
You saved my Apple Watch, so now you're going to get one. But you know what? You should get one. I'll give you mine if you want it. I can't with that thing. It's so judgmental. I'm sick of being called fat. I'm sick of it telling me I'm about to die. I know I'm about to die. Do you think I don't know? I live my lifestyle. I love it. It's a great way to go. I'm going to die with a 2-pounder of M&Ms in my lap, you know, and like an eye booger, like choking on an eye booger or something just from being so lazy. I don't care, Apple. Leave me alone. Get your fucking activity rings out of my life. And if you tell me to breathe one more time, I'm drowning you. Sick.
Well, that's why I'm going to get it, because I just I need to up my exercise. So I'm just going to, I'm investing in all the little pieces of technology to help get this.
All the bells and whistles to nag you.
I need all the nagging I can get. So my friend was basically like, get an Apple Watch so that way you can join me and our friend Nick and we can like share our, we can basically share our results together and then I can feel shame. Like if I'm going to be, if I can add an element of competition, then I'll be better about it.
Well, shameful competition. You know, shame really does. Yeah, shameful competition is healthy. I mean, it's America.
Yeah, so I mean, today, Real Housewives is what's based off of.
Yeah, speaking of, here's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills with the shamefully competitive Kyle Richards starring. Interesting episode, this Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Liked it. The backward blazer thing that Sutton had going on haunted me. I thought about it all night. I was like, but why? And then that guy on Project Runway made backward blazer dresses. And then they were like, you stole that because I saw that on the runway. And I was like, is this the guy he stole it from? Or did this guy steal it from somebody? And did he steal it from the Project Runway guy who stole it from somebody else? There's a lot of backwards blazer stealing going on. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I think it all... It's like, it's Celine Dion or no one, right? Like, I feel like Celine Dion locked down that look, and no one else should be trying it. There, yeah, I said that's it. So, that's it. It's a Celine look. It's Celine Dion. Does anyone else try to dress like the Mona Lisa? I don't think so.
Is there anything more gay pride than you standing up for Celine Dion? No, there's not.
Thank you.
Celine wins.
Thank you. Celine wins.
So, let's see. Here we are. Kyle twirling around in her caftan in her opening. I don't know why I wrote that down. It was just the first thing that stood out to me.
You know what? Let's be annoyed at her twirling in her caftan because she did something that annoyed me. And it was so small. And I was like, I can't believe this is annoying me, but it kind of really annoyed me. And I don't know if I can fully express it, but maybe if I like work it out with you, we can get to the root of it. It bothered me that one of the first things we saw, she was cracking like many eggs, like 8 eggs into a bowl because she was going to make a big thing of eggs for everyone, like an omelet or scramble, like a mass scramble. Yeah. And then it cuts to her putting in a Keurig pod into her machine. And for some reason, it bothered me that she had like the infrastructure to make a mass amount of omelets, but only one at a time coffee. And I was like, you're rich. You should have a French press. Like,
you're mad she didn't make group communal coffee, just communal eggs.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not, by the way, French presses are not for rich people. They're like very affordable. I'm just saying, like, you have money to spend. You can spend a little money to get a French press or a coffee pot or something. It just felt like, oh, you do like, and this is not against Keurigs, 100% not against Keurigs, but I'm just saying it really bothered me that she didn't have the ability to make bulk coffee with her bulk eggs.
You forget how after you've had a Keurig for a while. I've tried to make coffee like 3 times when people are over, and I failed every time. Like I became a total idiot. I don't know how to do it. I want a special snowflake coffee. I want my own little thing. Just make me my own. I don't want to drink
communal snowflake coffee.
I want snowflake coffee. I want my own pod that costs way too much.
Well, you know, I think I'm getting to the root of my issue, which is that I feel like Kyle, with that big glass sort of like ornate bowl and those eggs, you know, in the context of last season, I think she's trying to fashion herself as the hostess of them with the mostest. Like, guys, I can make really good eggs. You know, like she's like, I'm going to make eggs for everyone. So she puts on the airs. And this is in my head, I realize, but I'm just assuming she's putting on the airs that she's going to make breakfast for everyone. And yet she's not capable of also making coffee for everyone. I don't know. Like, it only bothers me because I feel like she probably presents herself like she's an amazing, like, breakfast maker, you know?
Yeah.
Like with her salmon.
She's phony. She's phoning it in with her Keurigs. Wow.
Just
it's like the end of the case. No, none of us knew we needed. I feel like David What's-His-Buns should have made this show.
Strathairn?
Kelly. David E. Kelly.
Yes.
He could be telling Michelle Pfeiffer over dinner one night, you know, I'm really in for a new kind of show. People faking being good in breakfast toast.
Hospitality skills.
Okay, so we are in La Quinta. Ooh! And, you know, there's people playing golf, wondering why there's dog shit in the hole. And we see ducks, Bambi. You know, ducks, my favorite thing on Bravo, my favorite side character, the ducks, even though they're assholes in real life and we should all eat them. And everything's brown. So Kyle with her gold eye things, making eggs and coffee. I feel so left out of the eye thing. I've tried to buy like five of those Kyle under eye things and none of them fit because my face is too big. So they just look like little teardrops, like I've been to prison and killed somebody, like on the side of my eyes.
Can't you put like two on each eye?
Well, but then I have two little pointy things in my eye. And then I get the medicine for, I get the tea tree oil or whatever the fuck's in them in my eyes. And I'm all red and crying. Oh, the things we do to have faces like this.
I mean, your face looks amazingly smooth and buffed right now. So I don't know what the concern is. It does. Is.
You're so yeah. sweet. What is it? Anniversary yeah. time?
That's gay pride.
It's not. Yeah, it's not. So Kyle, you know, dropping the pretense, just calls Miguel from the main clubhouse to bring over yeah. four Bloody Marys and four mimosas. And that, you know, that makes me like Kyle a little bit.
Well, it's both dropping the pretense and also humble bragging that she can just do that. You know,
no, that's straight up bragging. There's nothing. Yeah. Yeah. I love a straight brag. I don't like humble bragging. I like straight up bragging. You know, I like mm-hmm. Diana kind of bragging, like, what? A store? Oh, disgusting. Stores are so gross. I'm like, you just yeah. talked about how you grew up. She said a Warsaw ghetto. You know, those are her words. Like, you're talking about growing
Sarajevo,
up.
Sarajevo, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Like, I'm like, those are her words. I get like every word wrong. Literally.
I was like, that was one of them was like World War II. One of them was like 1992.
Yeah, I don't know. But you've been like, you can go to a store. Shut up. Like, I'm suddenly allergic to
dust. There's dust. There's dust in this store. Oh, you should make fun of her accent. Just kidding. I will continue to do so.
Yeah, when they get to that part, LOL. I was like, well, they hate us forever. Okay, so then Dorit, Garcelle, Erica, and Rinna, you know, everybody just gathers, basically. And Dorit's telling Garcelle, I couldn't sleep a wink! And Garcelle's like, what? Well, why didn't you just knock on my door? Just not.
Dorit's like, well, that is so selfish. I would never, ever, 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 ever do that. So she's just talking about how she just has all these anxieties and fears now, and she just wants to put them behind her, etc. And so then Rinna, this is sort of like a sad foreshadowing moment where Rinna's like talking about how she really wants Dorit to talk to her mom because her mom survived massive trauma, as was detailed a few seasons ago, because her mom was attacked by a guy who wound up being a serial killer, which is totally crazy. So Rinna wants Dorit to talk to Lois to learn about how she moved on in her life. But, you know, we unfortunately know what's coming up on that front.
Yeah, so that's super sad stuff. And then Kyle is having breakfast with Crystal and Diana. And Erica, oh, yeah, so they're not coming, basically. Because everyone's like, where are they? Where are they? And they're going to have breakfast somewhere else. So Kyle's like, well, you know, did anybody talk to Crystal? Anybody talk to her? Garcelle's like, yeah, I was texting with her. She just wants to go home. She's very, very triggered and in a very unsafe space. So it's just time to go home.
And yeah, and Garcelle's like, you know, they're both like, Kyle's saying that there must be something that triggered this reaction. There must be something more going on. And she goes,
you guys triggered it. What are you so confused at?
I know. How much, like, and so Kyle's like, I mean, maybe she felt we cared more about Dorit than we did about how she felt last year, even though, like I said, kind of my phrase of 2022, apples and oranges.
Apples and oranges.
It's like, Kyle, yes. I like that Kyle proposes that, like, it's such a wacky idea. Like, oh, maybe she thinks that we just cared more about Dorit. I'm like, yeah. That's actually exactly right. That you guys, like when she brought up something, you guys treated her like she was crazy. And now, even though it's a different situation, you guys are like, it's that you guys showed much more empathy to someone else.
Yeah, I don't 100% agree with that, but we'll get to that when we get to the Couture show and they start talking yeah. about all this stuff. So Erica's like, well, in my view, she was coming to defend son. And when you guys didn't validate her feelings, she got very upset. And Kyle's like, oh my God, we're like emotional detectives. So ding dong. And the club has come with their drinks and stuff. And then Garcelle calls Crystal on speaker, of course, and sits away from the girls, but close enough where they can all hear it still.
Yeah. And she's like, so how are you doing? And Crystal's like, I'm really great. She goes, oh, you're being facetious. Well, do you want to talk? Do you want to come by? And Garcelle's basically saying, like, everyone's really worried about her. They don't know what triggered Crystal, which is funny because Crystal said it like 5 times last night. I think the thing, like, reason why I'm like a little bit more on Crystal's side about this is not so much that I'm on Crystal's side. It's more like they're acting like they just can't even see her. Like, her side is crazy. And I'm like, it's not so much that I agree with her, but it's more like you guys are being so rude by just like not even like, like trying to understand her. Like, and that's what her whole issue is. They don't even try to ever understand her. So,
well, not to relitigate that, but I mean, I understand her feeling. Someone came into her room and didn't knock, and she has body image issues and was mortified, and then the lady didn't even apologize. She acted like it was no big deal. I get that. So I get the feelings. It's, even though I don't agree with it, I don't know that I would cry about it and no, go to same. Every single person in the cast and have separate scenes about how that happened. But I think the problem was that Crystal was just saying, it's so creepy. I mean, why would she do that? I mean, it's just like she made Sutton sound like some fucking pervert. Remember when Kathy Hilton was like, oh, mm-hmm. look at Sutton, Tommy Binoculars over there. What did she call her?
Yeah, she did. Like, Peeping Tom or Thomas. Or Thomasina.
Yeah, Peeping Tom. Thomasina.
Peeping Thomasina. That's what it was. Yeah, no, I agree. I didn't like that aspect of it. But they did wind up focusing more on the fact that she said violate than like what she actually felt.
Because that's what Crystal did. Like, instead of just saying, listen, I have these feelings, this is why I have these feelings, she's like, that perverted, like, creepy woman came yeah. into my room and said, what are you doing? You know, what's wrong? What are you doing in here? Or whatever. So, Crystal, sorry. I'm not going to just suddenly jump to Crystal's side because that was my original opinion and I'm sticking to it. And Crystal does the same fucking thing later in the episode with one of the biggest words we've ever heard on Real Housewives of ever. Biggest words!
I actually, we'll get to it, but I think the situations are apples and oranges. So
that word is so huge. Somebody is going to hang it on their guest room wall. Okay, somebody's going to put a voice box in it so that big word can sing like a singing bass. It's that big of a word.
That word is so big. It's going to be forever associated with photography and how people develop photos. So. So basically, she's like, can you just come over, et cetera? And, you know, she's like, listen, they didn't realize you were holding on to all this stuff from last year. Just come and clear the air so we can all go home and feel like you're okay. And then, of course, talk about how ridiculous you're being behind your back for the next few episodes. Come on, yeah. Give us something.
She's like, everyone's worried and they didn't know what triggered you. She goes, they don't know what triggered me. She goes, yeah, they just don't know. Is it that you don't feel validated? Is that right? You don't feel validated? Everyone's listening in. So then outside, Erica's like, hey, Raina, can I be rude and touch your mom? I'm like, don't let her touch anything. Okay? Yeah. You break it, you buy it, poor person.
Right. And I thought you would appreciate this moment from Erica when at one point Bambi's outside and just barks and Erica goes, no, Bambi, we're not giving you the ball. I was like, surprisingly, Erica is the one who's going to start the Bambi intervention for
you're like addiction. Kim Richards in the spray paint aisle of a Home Depot. Calm down, Bambi.
So then Kyle is like now wants to fan the flames of Erica being mad at Sutton or maybe re-exacerbate Garcelle and Erica because she goes, guys, can you believe it's been a year since we were last here in La Quinta? Like, wow, Erica, you are like, this is kind of a variation of my favorite phrase, night and day. Sort of like a night apple and a day orange.
It's like, yeah, my life was in shambles. And Kyle goes, I mean, it was just right over there, right on that sofa. And Erica's like, I hate that sofa. I hate it. But I feel night and day, Kyle, because when I was here a year ago, it was crushing. And I'm so glad we moved past our shit. But I would also like to thank you all for accepting me for the wild animal that I was. Oh, yeah. So much has changed now. And then we see a clip of Erica's greatest hits from last year. Are you going to let me tell the fucking story?
Or what?
So
Miss Small Town, I'm worried about my motherfucking reputation. Or what? Or you know, what?
Oh, what? You know, when you go through something like this, it's all encompassing. It's every part of your life. It's where you live, your marriage, your finances. And it's more effective when you say it really fast all of a sudden, you know? And you finally get over to the, you get across that bridge a little bit, and you can at least catch your breath. You're on a bridge, and you got over the bridge. And I'm far from done, but I can catch my breath on a bridge. A bridge breath, I call it. Breath breathing.
I was backed into a corner every day. I really was. All I could think in that corner was, I wish there was a bridge. I wish there was a bridge.
She's like so a ridiculous. Bridge,
like a bridge over troubled snowbanks in Pasadena.
I will lay me down, bitch.
So she talks about how it's been, she's been dragged through the mud for a whole year now for something that she didn't do and something that didn't happen repeatedly. I'm like, babe, I don't know what you did or didn't do, but it happened. That money was there. You spent it. All the paperwork is out there. All you have to do is follow Emily Baker or Ronald Richards on the Twitter, if anybody is like curious.
McGruff the crime dog. I mean, honestly, it's just literally so a cartoon.
Jessica Fletcher. Angela Lansbury doesn't even do that anymore, and she could tell you.
The guy at the end of like those TV shows from the 80s who was typing and threw the paper up in the ceiling and it comes down and makes a C. Okay? That guy knows. Ubu. So sit, she's Ubu, just, sit knows.
Yes, sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog. Never heard in Kyle's house, by the way.
Never.
So, Garcelle is, by the way, Garcelle's sitting on the couch with her drink just sitting on the couch next to her, not on a coaster or a table or anything. And I was like, Garcelle gives no fucks. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why I love Garcelle.
And I loved her response. She immediately just goes, well, I think one of the reasons, though, why you were dragged through the mud is because you didn't show any compassion. You didn't it's a big utz. And she's like, you didn't show anything. Like, oh, my God, I hope this really didn't happen. You know, like, thank you, Garcelle. Like, that's what really needed to be said. And I was just glad that she just, boom, just said it.
It's been said multiple times, but Erica just keeps trying to rewrite history, you know? And then Kyle starts, like, playing with her nails and looking at everybody like, can you believe Garcelle just said that? And Garcelle's like, yeah, I mean, you didn't say, like, you didn't show, like, oh, my God, I wish this did, or I hope this didn't happen. And Erica goes,
but I really hope it didn't.
She goes, yeah, but you didn't say that.
But I couldn't say it.
Why can't you say it?
No. When you're in a legal situation like that, every word counts. We weren't even sure that there were people that weren't paid.
Every word counts, but she's perfectly fine telling a story of let's like literally like a narrative, an oral history of Mario Kart, of Tom driving up a mountain and crashing, and then there was a snowstorm and cars flipping over, and he was found in a bank. So those words are okay to say. Those will not be used against you, even though they're the craziest words. But all the other words are not allowed to be said. Also note that no one in this moment said, well, Erica, I really wish you just would say things because otherwise we're thinking the worst things ever. Say something, Erica.
Yeah, right. So then we get a tss, and Kyle pulls her head back, and even Rena looks at her like, what the fuck? And then we get a lower tss. It goes, tss. I was like, wow, they pulled out the secondary
the low
for this episode. That was so shitty to say. So Kyle's like, wait, so you're saying we don't know for a fact that these victims weren't paid? And Erica goes, that's right. Uts.
And Dorit's like, let me just clarify this so that way it can go into the promos for this episode. There's a chance they could be lying. Is that what you're saying? Gee.
Well,
basically. Garcelle, she says, yes, there's a chance. And Garcelle says, no way. And Erica goes,
yes, why?
And everyone's just so uncomfortable because this is low even for Erica. And I mean, Erica
this is a real refund.
Tom Girardi ball level. I mean, this is low even for her.
Okay. It's almost as low as that secondary. So Garcelle is like, she's like, I mean, these victims are regular people. Why would they be coming after Tom? I mean, why would they be bringing lawsuits if they were paid? They would just keep on going and living their lives. And Erica does the whole, like, well, we still don't have all the facts. It's like a conspiracy theory 101, right? And Garcelle tells us, and it also snows in Pasadena.
And then we get a blurp from the music. The music was killing me this time. So just so everybody knows, today, Tom was officially, or yesterday, I guess, Tom was officially disbarred. And they were ordered to pay $2.5 million in just one of the lawsuits. So basically, yeah, there is proof that they weren't paid. You fucking nitwit. How dare you? Like, who the fuck is she? Like, how dare this woman? I mean, she is quadrupling down.
Yeah. She really is. She doesn't evolve. That's the thing. Eric, like, she doesn't evolve her act, and she doesn't evolve her, like, she doesn't realize, like, Erica, you've had so many exit ramps from this craziness highway, like, where you could have just, like, fixed this and won back the hearts of so many people. Like, why are you staying on this highway?
But instead, she's like, orphans and widows, everybody knows they lie. You ever seen those commercials with kids with flies on their face? Those are animatronic. I don't even believe those, Sally Struthers, that lying motherfucker. They're all lying!
Erica. Jeez.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Erica is saying, well, you can allege anything in a lawsuit. And Rena says, and you can sue anyone for anything. And Erica's telling us, oh, there was a time I walked past the tabloids and I would see my face multiple times. And, you know, she loves saying that. Yes. Part of her is like, yes, score. And I thought, there's bad stories sticking. Why? Because people want them to be true. People who have no inkling of the truth. They don't want the truth. All they want is for Erica to fail. And that is not happening. And then she gets robotic. I like Erica the robot. She's like,
that is not happening. Ever. And I don't care who likes me or nothing like me. That is not happening. Ever.
Well, so then Crystal shows up, and Erica's still, she's still talking. She's like, I can't admit to something I don't know happened. I mean, the best way I can serve those who've been rightfully wronged is to roll up my sleeves and comply, which is what I've done. And one way I've done that is to introduce oxymoronic phrases like rightfully wronged.
Yeah. If you're going to accuse Tom of something, accuse him of rightfully wronging people.
Like, I know.
What the fuck is she doing? So she's like, and I'm going to roll up my sleeves. And that's just what I've done.
That's what O.J. Simpson said also after he was acquitted, by the way. He's like, I'm not going to rest 1 minute till I find out who is the real killer of Nicole. And
so it's just like apples and OJs.
That's like trying to make OJ out of apples.
So Crystal comes in, and she gets the full Rinna red carpet.
Crystal's here! Crystal!
That's the I am about to try to make you feel like shit sound. But I'm going to make you feel comfortable while I do it. So then we cut over.
Did you catch Erica going,
oh, look, it's the lady of the night. The lady of the hour. Yes, I don't want to spread any more of those prostitution rumors around here. It's the lady of the hour, everybody. Don't believe everything you read in the tabloids. Which I'm on the cover of, often.
Only believe certain rumors you hear, but none of the ones involving me. So then we go to Sutton's bungalow, and Diana shows up, and there's like a huge spread. I don't know, were they like planning on serving breakfast for the cast there, and there was a missed memo. It's like a huge spread for two people.
No, and she knows that Diana's not going to eat it. That's just something you do to another rich person, so game sees game. You know, she's like, yeah.
Well, hello, welcome. I'm rich too. Okay, great. Want to sit on my couch? I wouldn't buy this either.
You know, when you are rich and you're doing the whole game sees game thing, you actually get some game. So here's some venison we put on the table, too. So Diana's... Yeah, so Diana like comes in and she's like, oh my God, this is such a big spread right here. I'm surprised there's nothing here I'm allergic to. So Sutton says... You know, I have to say, I haven't eaten meat in so long, but there's something about bacon that I cannot resist. And Diana's like, bacon eating vegetarian is not a thing. Doesn't exist.
And she gives her squint. Like her I'm better than you smile squint.
Like she figured it out.
Yeah. So Sutton's like, I mean, what happened last night? I was like, wait a minute. Why are you crying now? Because it came from somewhere different in the corner, you know? I mean, I didn't even know anything was over there. And then suddenly triggered right in the corner over there. What was that? And Diana's like, it is because everyone has different triggers. You know, some people are triggered to bacon. Some people are triggered to poor people. You know? Mm-hmm. Triggers. Face lick.
Yeah. And sounds like, well, what triggers you? And she goes, well, you know, when someone make fun of my accent, you know? And so I goes, oh, well, that is really low. And she goes, yes, and when people say stuff about my country, and I go, well, point at it on the map. There, point at it on the map. I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I mean, you shouldn't say, you generally shouldn't say mean things about people's countries, I suppose. But I love that, like, her response is, point at it on the map, and then you can say mean things.
Yeah, I can literally not even talk about states in America, if that's the case. Like, I can't make fun of anything. I'm ignorant, okay? Mm. Now, you can't tell me I have to be smart to make fun of things, okay? That's not fair. That leaves a lot of us out in the cold, okay? I was raised in the American educational system. Don't do this to me.
Okay? Yeah.
But yeah, when she says, when people make fun of my accent, I was like, well, but what about when we do it really terribly? Is that okay? Like, can we write in a letter being like, can we still do it? Because I'm still going to do it.
We're going to do it. It's more. We're not making fun of it. We're making tribute to it. To be honest, we're
making a tribute. It's like these ladies hate both of us.
We're not making any fans on Beverly Hills anytime soon. I'll just say that much.
Yeah. So Sutton, yeah, she's asking her what triggers her, and she's like, you know, when people say ignorant shit. I'm like, well, have fun. Have fun in not only America, but Beverly Hills. I mean, look around. So she tells us that she grew up in Bosnia, and because Sutton's like, well, I mean, I can handle confrontation, but I just don't like screaming. I really don't like screaming. And she goes, well, I grew up in Bosnia. Unless you shout, nobody hears you. I used to be aggressive, really aggressive, scary aggressive. And Sutton's like, well, it's because of where you came from. But isn't that doing what she just said?
I know.
Like,
I literally hate when people generalize the cities and countries in like very convenient ways. Like, oh yeah, you know, in Bosnia, unless you shout, no one hears you. I guarantee if you walk down the streets in Bosnia, no one, you're not going to hear, hey, shut up, give me some fruit. You know, like people know how to talk in Bosnia too. Like, people understand how to talk places. And I just think it's so funny. And like, even we're going to talk about Dubai later today. They even said it on Real Housewives of Dubai a few times. Like, this is a city where you don't get anything unless you speak up. I'm like, yeah, that's also probably in most places you have to speak up to get what you want. It's not like there's some city where you just have to demure a little bit. I know, in most cities
they just walk up to you in a mall and hand you a mansion. It's the craziest thing.
You know, there are certain cities where you say, I mean, never mind. I don't want to say what I want. Oh, I received it. Thanks. God, I love this city. I love that the city works that way.
Thank God I didn't speak up.
Thank God I was like Emma Thompson in Remains of the Day.
Speaking of, this has nothing to do with Emma Thompson and Remains of the Day, but I hope that Diana turns out to be from like a small town outside, you know, Tucson. Like, yeah. I hope that her whole story is a lie. I don't think it is, but I hope it is. That would be the best twist. Yeah.
Or I'm also down for someone like an Aviva Drescher who just comes in with a wild conspiracy theory like that and just hounds Diana with it. Like, I read. My agent told me that she is really from Sheboygan, okay? Yeah. And then she just goes with it.
Yes. So she tells us some more of her backstory. She says that she's someone who grew up in the ghetto, and she's like, I used to be very explosive, very angry. And I've tried to learn empathy, but at the same time, you don't get multiple chances with me, because first time, shame on you. Second time, shame on me.
And she says it in a way like, she's like, this is a really cool phrase I just invented. She like, there's a very self-satisfied smile. Like, did I just blow your mind right now?
Yep. And so Sutton's like, well, with these women, you're going to have to give them more than one chance. Okay. One chance isn't enough. And she's like, okay, maybe three. She's like, you're going to have to give them several chances.
Yeah. And by women, I mean me, of course. So then we go back to Kyle's place. where Bambi is like holding a knife to some peacock on the golf course, asking for a ball to bite on. So Rinna is like, Crystal, let's talk about how you felt and how you're feeling. Okay, let's talk about that. And Crystal's like, I feel like I'm in some weird therapy commune right now.
Like, don't worry, none of us are licensed.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
None of us are licensed, don't worry.
Oh, yeah. But we just want to understand how you feel, Crystal. How do you feel? And so Crystal's like, okay. Now this is, Crystal pulls out a my mom thing in this episode. She does it like 10 times. She's like, now let me be clear. We are going to have this conversation today, and then we're never going to talk about it again. Mm-hmm. Everybody understand that? And they're like, okay. And she's like, music people, do you understand that? They're like, thank you.
It was very dramatic, but I felt like she was actually entitled to say that, because one thing that does happen is that this is the sort of thing that Kyle brings up over and over again. And then Kyle tells the whole cast, like, it's just like she keeps harping on it when it's Kyle who brings it up over and over again. And then Crystal gets blamed for it. So I think that's kind of why she was
true,
doing that.
But I hate to stick up for Kyle, but I have to in this situation. Crystal, you brought this shit up. This was you Crystal who brought this one up in the middle of somebody else's drama. So here comes Crystal bringing up last year's shit that nobody cares about anymore, bringing it into this year in the middle of someone else's trauma story, and now she's mad that they're talking about it again. I mean, really? Mm-hmm. So Dorit's like, well, take your time, my darling. I've suffered from trauma, so I understand now. People need time. Take it.
So Crystal is like choking up. She's like, this is the same response I had when Rob told me he wanted to dig 25 feet into the ground to make a golf range in the basement. Anyway.
Trying to cry. Simba's dad died. So I'm Simba. My dad is dead.
Simba. Okay. Lion King 2 makes me cry because it was so bad. Okay. What was upsetting me last night was, sorry, this is kind of like my apples and oranges is to say a lot. When I was struggling last year with Sutton, I was telling you guys how I felt, and I felt like there was a massive campaign to negate how I was feeling. And then we have flashback from me. Violate is a strong word. Violate. But you said violate. So Crystal is like, it's not easy for me to pour my heart out to you guys when all I'm being told is a word that I'm using is too strong. Like the focus shifted that like something that was not to something that wasn't really the focus. And what triggered me was that I've been holding on to it. And then in conclusion,
Triggered him. Yeah. Well, you don't have the right to your feelings when your feelings are accusing somebody else of being some kind of perverted creep. You know what I mean? That's not a feeling. That's like mixed in with an accusation, which is also what she does later. She like couches everything in this like, but it's my feelings. No, the problem wasn't your feelings. It's that you're accusing somebody else of something way worse than what happened. Like,
well, I mean,
you don't get to do that.
But I always felt that like she was totally valid in saying I felt violated. I thought it was when she made her sound like Sutton was being creepy. I didn't think that it didn't seem to me like Sutton was being creepy. But either way, I mean, I think she does have a point in that, like, ultimately the conversation shifted from what she was experiencing, and she probably over exaggerated in terms of like the creepy aspect of it. But it's just funny because all these women have completely exaggerated so many aspects of their various storylines, and Crystal's the only one who's getting really dinged for it. So either way, she goes, Garcelle was like, well, you said you don't feel safe. Like, what does that mean? Is it because we're here within not compassionate criminal potentially? And Crystal's like, she's like, no, it's like my emotions in this group, that's like how I felt last year, and that's why I shut down a lot.
Kyle goes, and this doesn't feel like a safe space for you. Kind of like smiles, and Crystal's like, well, I'm trying, you guys. I'm really trying, you guys. And Dorit's like, but saying something like where we are isn't a safe space. Just because you're in a conversation with adult women that don't agree with you, sweetheart. This is a vacation. compared to what I'm going through. Oh, shut up!
I was like, wait a second. Safe space is not a literal term.
Yes, and you don't like you don't get to do that. Like, I've gone through something traumatic, so you can't have any feelings because whatever I've gone through is worth. Shut the fuck up with that, okay? Then read the news because you don't have the right to cry about anything either, then, ma'am.
As someone who has not gone through a serious trauma, but played someone who endured it, Halloween, thank you so much. Number one movie in America. I just want to say, I'm sorry I made you feel like that, not hurt. I will be using this all against you over the course of the next hour. And then at one point, and then of course, this is all interrupted by the freaking dogs eating out of their bowls. These monster dogs that are totally untrained and out of control.
Okay, how dare you call a dog a monster? They are little angels. You can tell Kyle is raising these dogs because she sets the dogs up. Everything is right at dog face level. Have you noticed that? Like, she has these little things for them to put their plates down that are like way below even table level. They're like shorter tables. Like, she's setting the dogs up so then she can be like, they're bad dogs. Sorry guys.
That's classic Kyle.
Kyle. She raises her dogs just like she tries to raise housewives. So Kyle's like, well, I'm sorry if I made you think that I didn't listen, but I think of myself as a fixer. And Garcelle goes, a fixer and a stir.
Kyle's not happy with that. She goes, I always try to fix things. I do try to fix things. I do. It's like, no, Kyle. And I think the reason why I'm sort of also leaning more towards Crystal is that I feel like I see a lot of insincerity on the part of the women wanting to sit and listen to her. Like, I feel like they didn't genuinely care. Maybe Garcelle, but I don't feel like the other women genuinely cared to know what was going on with Crystal. I think Kyle was just like, I want to get information to then use it to destroy relationships. That's what I really felt like.
So Garcelle's like, So they end this conversation because Kyle's like, well, I need to ask you a favor. Can you please not wait a year to bring up something that's bothered you like that?
And says the woman, like, who sure. goes 3 years without talking to her sisters at a time.
And waited loud. Two of them to get back at Vanderpump for making that. Oh, I read in the tabloids your husband seeing younger women. Is it Portia? Is it Portia? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Garcelle's like, well, okay, now let me say something. I've been holding on to this, and I hate when people stir. So I know what I'm about to say may be explosive, but I feel as the only one of us currently with the talk show as of time of filming, that I feel that when you and Sutton had your thing, and then we see the clip of Crystal going, are you one of those girls that says, I don't see color? Please tell me that you're that person. Go ahead, say it. You don't see color. Please tell me you're that person. And then it cuts back. And Garcelle's like, I feel that no matter what Sutton said, the sky is blue. You're going to say, are you that girl? That was the setup. And it's like a pause. And Crystal's like, what the fuck? I thought we were allies.
Whoa. Like, Crystal's like, oh, but now you know me. You still think that? She goes, I don't know. And Crystal is like totally, I think actually rightfully blindsided by that. She's like, what the hell, So she's just like, well, there was a lot more that was said to that. And it was pretty dark, which is very dark. And like, I think her way.
She goes, yes, well, that was something happened before that. There was way more said. And Kyle was there. And it was very dark. A lot that was said. Very, very dark. And Dorit does her. Yeah.
So for me, I read it as like, look, like there was stuff they didn't air, right? Like there was stuff that they didn't air. And like there was more to it. That's why I reacted that way. Now, if I had heard that personally, Ronnie, I would be like, okay, cool, got it. But these women are like, what do you mean? What do you mean? And then Erica's like, well, I wish we could have known that. And so now
of course Erica does, of course Erica wants this evidence, right?
Yeah. Well, of course, Erica, all of a sudden, the one who has been championing, I must be discreet right now. All of a sudden, she's like, I need to know every single word. I need to know what really happened.
And Rin is saying, wow, so she's supposed to be friend, so if that's your friend that you were just standing up for, why would you say that she said really dark things? Like, Sutton's going to be pissed, and she should be. So Crystal's like, listen, it was the first time I'd ever talked to, hold on. Sutton. It was the first time I'd ever talked to Sutton. And Carl's like, yeah, I was in Tahoe at the bar. And I don't remember her saying anything bad. And Chris was like, well, you probably blocked it out of your head because you were drunk. Carl's like, no, I remember the conversation. We were talking about, her again, and she's not here to defend herself. And I don't remember anything that dark. And Chris was like, okay, well, we're not going there. You can't do that. Now you brought it up again, and now you brought this up, and you're going to get mad at everybody bringing shit up. That's crazy. Because the implication is that Sutton said something really racist.
I mean, the way I interpreted it was that like Sutton said something problematic, but it was enough that Crystal has been able to like forgive her and move on. So it wasn't like an A-bomb, right? And she basically is like...
There was a lot said prior to that that was very dark. I mean...
Yeah, but I just feel like this is like... I don't know. I kind of feel like it was Crystal's judgment. Like, this is something that, like, Crystal found was dark, but, like, Crystal has... Crystal and Sutton have, like, figured it out. And so I actually don't think it's so terrible that Crystal said it. I think, though, that they are, like, latching onto it to make it a wedge between the two of them.
Well, she made it a wedge. Crystal made it a wedge.
No, but Garcelle just came for her so hard out of nowhere. Garcelle just was like, oh, why? Like, you were setting her up. Garcelle's basically saying, like, you were trying to set her up. You were actually... The implication there is, like, you're actually using... race as a way to take someone down. And that's kind of what that was saying. Like, it was a setup. And she's like, no, I was reacting to something that you guys just didn't see. You know, she didn't say it like that. But again, it's like ultimately. But
that's how she says it. There were a lot of things said that night before that happened, and they were very dark. Well, you can't say something like that and then people not be like, what racist shit did Sutton say? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, what stupid racist shit did Sutton say? I mean, it's like right at the height of Black Lives Matter and everything else going on in the country, and it's not like nobody has ever heard anybody say these things, which you know that Sutton probably said. So just now we're going to bring it up again. So, I agree with the other ladies, which I can't believe, but you can't bring something like that up and then be like, but we're not going to talk about it.
Well, I think it's fair. Like, I think Sutton, I mean, Garcelle at a point, she does say, listen, I feel like I need to know because this could impact how I view Sutton. And I think that is fair, but I feel like the other ladies are just there to just like, they don't care. Like they're just there to create a wedge. I mean, I think that like, I think Crystal had, I think it was a big accusation made towards Crystal. I think she had a right to be like, I was reacting to something else. Should she have said it was really dark? Should she have been like that? Maybe not. But again, I feel like they just come down on her so hard for, I mean, look at Erica. She spent an entire season being absolutely over the top dramatic. And it's not like they don't come down on Erica for that. She just said some bullshit a scene ago.
They're afraid of Erica. I know. You know? They're afraid of Erica. Yeah. So Crystal does the mom thing again. She's like, we are not going there. And what we're not going to do is bring this up right now, or I'm turning this car around. I'm going to tell you right now what we're not going to talk about. This, we're not going to do. I'm telling you right now what we're not going to do. I was like, okay, mom, get the wooden spoon out of the glove compartment already.
Mm-hmm. And Erica tells us, she goes,
you know, when you say, I don't want to say what it is, you allow the person who just asked it to fill in the blanks with the worst possible shit ever. And if it's that bad, then don't bring it up at all. I'm like,
Erica really is not the one to talk about this, about, I don't know, I don't want to say what it is. I mean, that really was her entire season. And this season too.
Her entire season every year is her entire season. So Garcelle's like, well, my son Oliver called me. And Tariq goes, oh, is everything okay? Is everything okay with Oliver? I've been traumatized. And she's like, yes, he's fine. It's just that he got a job working for somebody you all know. And Dorit goes, PK? PK don't have a job? What the fuck is Dorit even talking about today? What is PK going to hire anybody to do?
I know. Well, that is a central question that conspiracy theorists have, I have to say.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So anyway, then we wind up going back to LA and we're back at Dorit's house. Speaking of PK, and PK's like, baby, can you get me a Diet Coke, honey? She's like, how many Diet Cokes have you had? He's like, I've had two, plus two more, and another six. And do Pringles count as Diet Coke? Because I've had that too.
Can you maybe have a Diet Coke and then water it out a little bit with a glass of water?
He's like, I don't like water as much as I like Diet Coke, but I only have two words with you now, and those words are, yes, darling. Yes, darling. And she's like, well, PK's up to diabetes 16 now. He refuses to change his lifestyle. It's just stress on top of stress, given what I'm going through.
And she's talking about she has all sorts of new anxieties in her life now, the new reactions, new triggers, and her new normal is like palpitating anxiety. And she's even like, she's triggered by the sound of her bedroom door opening, like when her kids come in late at night. You know, just not late at night, but when they come in to sleep, she hears the door and she's like, so she just wants to heal.
If you want PK to think less about food, you need to stop using art like fancy French fry holders on your tables. You know what I mean? Have you seen that cone? It's like that metal cone.
No, I haven't.
And every time I see it, I'm like, why isn't that filled with fries? No one needs an empty French fry container from a nice restaurant in their home. I'm like, who does that to a diabetic? I mean, that's just cruel.
It is cruel. So PK says, you know what, babe? How about, you know, you've got so much stress going on in your life. How about you call up some of the girls, ring up some of the girls and say, let's take some days off. Let's go to Punta Mita. Okay. I'm like, they literally, the last scene was them on vacation. It wasn't like last episode. This is like when you see a Starbucks across the street from a Starbucks. Like, it's a lot. I mean, like,
yeah.
Wow, it's... Maybe you need a vacation because you've only been home for 24 hours.
And she's like, well, I will say, even though you mention it, it feels like, oh, that feels nice. Feels that's how it sounds to everybody who's like, you want to go on a tropical vacation?
I know. Seriously. She's like, God, it would be nice to be in a spacious, roomy house with a pool and maybe its own little built-in classroom. Oh, that's our house. But it'd be nice to have that somewhere else, too.
Well, it'll be great for you, babe. Now we just need to decide which shows I can watch. And she's like, you can't watch anything, PK.
He's like, but come on, I can't watch anything while you're away.
It's like the most relatable conversation they've ever had.
Yeah, and he goes, well, I do want to watch that Squid Game, darling. I'm just imagining Dorit watching Squid Game and being totally confused by so many different concepts.
Because they're all PK. PK is totally the one who pushes your ass off the bridge. Operation Punta Mita. So Sutton is at her store with, I guess, an assistant or something, and she's getting ready for her stuff. And she has a customer, this older lady who comes out in like a baby doll balloon dress. She looks like crazy. Violet from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, married really well, you know?
It was a little bonkers. I guess that's what this guy's thing is. Like, sort of bonkers, whimsical, formal, like, tea party wear or something. I don't know. Like, it was twee party. I don't know. I can't describe it. I'm obviously not in the world of fashion. But
it's very
strange.
Like high-end Baby Jane clothes, you know?
Yeah.
So Sutton's like, and here is the man of the hour, Bonsoir. And Alexis Merrill, they double kiss, of course. And she's like, oh, I have to get dressed. He's like, oh, let me help you. So they go get her dressed. And she tells us that he's a Paris darling at couture. And the borders are finally open. So he can come into the country. And what better way to celebrate than having a Parisian party? And it's like, oh my God. You know, probably the most offensive way you could celebrate to this guy is having a Parisian party.
I know. Could you imagine going to another country and then people throw you like an American party? It's like, okay. Yeah.
Like, here's your hot dog.
Then again, Parisian culture is much more hoity-toity than American culture, I feel like. Oh my God, I'm talking about countries, Ronnie. I'm so sorry.
I hope you can pinpoint on the map, huh?
Yeah,
but yeah, I think that for an American, they would love that because we're always just, you know, when we see Americans go to other countries on these shows, they're like, but can I have a hamburger? So they would love that. But a Parisian, like, oh, really? You're giving me crepe? This is tortilla. Do I look stupid to you?
I went to Paris like in 2012 or 13, and there definitely was a restaurant. It was like an American restaurant there. And I didn't go in, but I was like, it was just really funny seeing American food as like, an ethnic food, you know, in another country. And it was like burgers and chicken wings. And I was like, okay. Yeah, I was like, I mean, it's not wrong, but it was just one of those things like, wow,
We've really made our stamp. Yeah, really made our stamp. So Sutton comes out in her backwards blazer dress, which I really just don't understand. Who wants to be Sutton on one side, and then on the other side, you're like Boss Hog? Like, who wants that? Looks crazy.
It was a little funny looking. And Diana, meanwhile, is in glam. And she has this, like, stylist who's sort of like her... Like, they basically were like, hey, stylist lady, could you, like, just kind of, like, drive the scene for us a little bit? Because Diana's not going to talk on her own. She's like, sure. Okay. So Diana, you've never been to a store, right? And she's like, no, I've never been to a store before. And she's like, even though you were just in a store last episode, never been to a store before. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you have allergies. Oh, I have allergies. Dust in my face. Allergies. Yeah.
Also, it's the chemicals, too. That's my eyes, they stop popping out of my head. And Leah, and I like that her assistant's name is Leah, because Erica's is Laya. So I just want them to meet so they could be like, oh, hi, Laya. Leah. Mm. No, Laya. Leah. I said Laya. Leah. God damn, fuck you. Fuck you, like, you pretentious. No, fuck you. No, fuck you.
Be like Oprah and Uma. So,
so back at
yeah.
Are you done with that one? Sorry.
I am. Yeah, I was going to say that Dorit's in a car. Dorit's in a car.
So back at the store, Sutton's like, wow, okay, you do this. You know what we need? We need that thing steamed. And she tells us, there is just so much to do to throw a party. Ice, fonts, blazer, floor.
Got to make sure that laser thing by the door goes beep, boo, when people walk in, because you need to light, know people are walking
light,
in.
Light, bar, door, vase, wind. I'm like, okay, you're just like saying
you're doing charades now.
Pancake.
Playing charades. Someone's off camera doing charades, aren't they? Cast away. Forrest Gump. That thing you do. She got Tom Hanks as a clue. So, meanwhile, Dorit is in a car with Kyle. And she just got a text from Rinna basically saying that Lois had a stroke. So Rinna's going up to Oregon to take care of her. And so basically they're talking about, you know, end of life care, et cetera. And Kyle's sharing stories about her mom and taking care of her mom and nursing her mom, et cetera. Very sad, emotional stuff. And then Kyle gets a notification that there's a paparazzo at the house taking pictures over the gate.
And Dorit's like, who was over your fence? She's like, paparazzi. They were just taking pictures over the fence. And she's like, oh, that is triggering, Kyle. It's very triggering. It makes me feel like someone's casing your house.
Kyle's like, thank you so much. Thank you. Like that's actually her dream, is to have her house cased. Again, by the way, I should say.
I know. So Kyle's like, wait a minute. This storyline was fine with me, but now I can't brag about paparazzi? Okay, we're dropping the storyline. Okay.
She's like, Dorit, it's only because Halloween's the number one movie in America right now. And I don't know. There's just like an insatiable appetite for stardom. You know, that's all it is.
So back at the party, there's a red carpet, and Sutton has WeHo Weekly or whoever there.
It's like on the red. It was on the red carpet with George What's-His-Face from our local ABC affiliate here. It's like on the red carpet with George Pinocchio. And you know that guy? I think his name is George Pinocchio or Pinocchio, and he wears a little vest. You know, local LA news has some real interesting characters, okay? There's like Dallas Raines, the weatherman, but this guy, George Pinocchio, he always has a blaze. He has like he always has a suit, but he always has like a little vest. And it's always like a paisley vest. He's like, George Pinocchio here with On the Red Carpet. Just want to say, how you doing? And in fact, Ronnie, remember when we went to that taping of Top Chef, when we went to like Top Chef California, went to all the time. I remember there was that one girl who was really obnoxious, and she tried to cut in line for the vans, and she was the one who got mad at us and didn't tell her that she had something in her teeth.
Yes, vile.
Well, she is a correspondent, or at least was at one point, for On the Red Carpet with George Pinocchio.
Oh God, so she probably got fired from cutting lines someplace. Yeah.
She's like, I'm important.
I need to cut the line. We were like, how dare you? Remember, because we were like, we're always friends with the terrible ones, because she was talking to us in line.
Oh, wait, actually, No. We got it wrong. We totally framed her. She was awful the entire time, but then someone tried to cut in line, and she was the one who defended our position. She was the one who was like, excuse me, there's a line. I totally reversed my stance.
Okay, yeah, I take it back. So I barely remember because it was outdoors, which I don't approve of. And it was at the dog park. So we're eating stuff. And we had to be like shuttled from the dog park to the other parking place. So we had to wait in long lines in the sun. And everything smelled like dog poop while you're trying to eat. I can't eat tuna carpaccio with dog poop smell.
It was, and I just remember at one point they had everyone like gather around because like Tom and Padma and Gail were all going to like discuss something. So we all had to sort of stand around and fill out the background. And I remember just at one point, Padma turned around to all of us and goes, "You guys get him closer. We won't bite, unlike Gail."
So red carpet. So he's like, "Hi, I love vests. Do you have any vests in here? Do you have any vests in the store?" And Sutton's like, "Well, we don't have vests, but we do have backwards vests that are worn by ladies going to cocktail parties. So there's that. I have my friend Lexi Mobile. He's from France. We brought him in. Wall be damned." Okay, that's, I said it's so funny because I always said, "Well, I'll be damned," and here we are, "Well, I'll be damned." Am I right, vest guy? He's like, "Yeah, thank you from Los Angeles." So then Garcelle hugs, and Diana comes in like a crazy colored green Birkin, I think, that matches her crazy green. Yeah. I don't know, more than a county, more than a small city costing. You know what I'm saying? I'm losing. I don't know why I'm awake right now. Yeah. Okay, so anyway, they hug. And so Garcelle is asking who's coming, and Sutton says Crystal. And Garcelle's like, "Oh, great." Because Garcelle is now mad at Crystal for making her think that Sutton is possibly racist.
Mm-hmm. And so then we cut to Erica at home with Mikey and Laya, because I guess they're working at all hours of the day. And Erica's like, "I swear to God, I just finally figured out this formal stuff." And
I'm so not just like you guys. What's the term to stay? Am I right?
I know. I'm one of the people. So she's just saying how she's like so happy to not be going to Sutton's party. And she goes, "You know what? After everyone was going around kissing each other's ass, I asked, where's my apology? And she said, I'm not giving you one. And I think I stood up and said, fuck you." So we get like a flashback of that whole scene that happened back
again. Guess what? You're not owed an apology. Okay.
Yeah.
So she's, then we get a clip of her telling us, "Sorry, I can't make it. I've got a date with a vibrator." And she's like, "Let's be honest. I'm glad I'm not getting dressed. I don't have to put anything on, a plaster on, a fake smile." I was like, "Oh, yeah, you made no effort. You're in full glam." Like,
I know.
She's in full glamour shots glam right now.
And Laya goes, "Yeah, you can just like lay down with a dog." And Mikey goes, "Love it." What's going to happen when these two are no longer on her payroll? Like, they are literally like, it doesn't matter what she's, "I think I'm going to go to the refrigerator and get a yogurt. Oh my God, I die."
So back at the party, Sutton and Crystal are hugging, and Crystal's wearing leather, and she's like, "Yes, it's leather. It's an honor of you." And we see a clip of, "What am I jealous of? Your ugly leather pants!" And Carl going, "No!"
So, Sutton is talking about how, "Well, you know, Alexei has, he has an absolutely beautiful apartment." And like, and he says like, "Yes, I would be interior designer if I was not a fashion designer." And Diana's like, "Oh yes, well, my apartment in London is designed by Giorgio Armani. My other one designed by Fendi himself."
God. And the producer asked how much it costs, and she's like, "A lot. My previous house in London was done Fendi." Weird that someone keeps getting places designed when they can't stand dust. Kyle and Dorit, she's annoying me, but I still love her. Does that make any sense? I'm still glad she's here, but the no dust thing, shut up. You live in LA. Okay, yep. Good luck. You live in a desert.
So you live in a dust bowl. It's a dust bowl.
I'm so mad for dust today. Like, I really am taking up for dust.
It's dust in the wind. So Kyle is anxious now. She's like, "I have anxiety now," because I think she just wants to be part of the anxiety thing that's going around. And so they are walking up to the store, Kyle and Dorit. And Dorit's like, "Honey, why is the press here? That's not cool." And she tells us, "Listen, I can't
talk to anybody right now, anyone but my close friends and family, and of course the entire production team is being monitored by people at Bravo and NBC Universal entirely. Only the closest people in my world. So how can Fern not think about that?
Of course. The millions of you, of course.
So now she's mad at Sutton for not giving her a heads up that there would be press at her event.
How could you not give me a heads up? Are you that self-absorbed? Okay, someone who doesn't want their friend to publicize their publicity event. Who's self-absorbed now? You didn't think there was going to be publicity at a designer being flown in to show off his wares at Sutton's store that she's trying to sell? Hello? Okay, Dorit, I believe Dorit's I got robbed thing. Okay? I believe it. I'm going to benefit of the doubt that. But this is getting ridiculous now, Dorit. With you. How could she? How could she say safe space around me? Okay, yeah. You're ham-handing it now with your fucking widow's outfit from a 1962 Italian mob movie and your little black headband. Okay, enough, ma'am.
I mean, I can understand if she doesn't want to be peppered by questions from the press, so she just doesn't do the red carpet. It's fine.
Go through but the back door. West Hollywood is built as alleys. We all know. You know, we've all hooked up in one. Okay, go back there.
Literally. But that being said, I mean, she can't be mad at Sutton. Say that Sutton is self-absorbed because she didn't think about, like that Sutton didn't cancel her press or didn't give Dorit a heads up. I mean, that's more self-absorbed by Dorit, okay? So, yes. So basically, Sutton, Dorit goes in. Looks like she does skip the red carpet, and she starts talking to Sutton. And Sutton introduces her to Alex and says, oh, that Alex finally made it into the country. And Dorit just gives, like, this angry look. Like, you're the one that caused Sutton to say something not very kind about me on a day when I was going through something, Alex.
Alex. And, of course, who's doing the press for Dorit? Kyle. She's like, she's just so strong, and, you know, the aftermath has not been easy for her. Thankfully, there's me. There's me. She hasn't had to eat one of her own steaks since, so that's been helpful for her. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say, the trauma she has endured, I mean, it reminds me of when I actually faced a critical injury on the set of Halloween that forced me to get a nose job. It was during my bangs period, and I try to block it out, but you know, trauma is trauma.
How could you have bangs after what I've gone through? So we get a tss, and Kyle comes up to Lexi and them talking, and she's like, is this the guy who was held at the border? The infamous one? Does he even know the story about the drama unfolding around him? No, Kyle, tell Kyle. Him. I'm sure Lexi is just dying up. To know.
Stir it up with Lexi, too. Do it, you know?
So Sutton goes, well, this is Dorit, and she has her own line. I guess you could call it a line. She designed something. So here, she did put some plastic lemons on the ceiling of an Italian restaurant in some place called Burbanka. So there was that. That was good. Guess have you could call her a designer.
Have you ever heard of McDonald's? Now imagine that McDonald's served Italian food, and you got it from a menu. That's where she put lemons in. So then Kyle is like, and so do I, by the way. I design things too. Kyle, Shahida designs your stuff and you put your name on it. She's like, oh, I have this store has like half my line in it. It's like, it's called a pity hanger, okay?
Yes, that is a pity hanging. And you know that shit is only in her store when she knows Kyle is coming. Because that shit does not stay in her store year-round.
It's like, let's have some couture, and then let's have some satiny loungewear in the corner. Yes, yes, Kyle, that's there all the time.
So then so Crystal now is in like a leather turtleneck thing, but there's like a little slit. And Dan is like, whoa, I think you're really showing too much there.
Stardust. So then, when there was this whole conversation, La Quinta with Crystal, and when it became this thing, like, I can't believe you said dark. I just knew, I'm sure you knew too, it was a countdown to when Kyle would use this against Crystal. And sure enough, Kyle goes right up to Sutton and goes, is everything okay with you and Crystal? I'm just asking because we had a very awkward conversation at the house. By the way, look, there's Kyle doing it right there. A very awkward. Although the difference is Kyle actually says what happens. She goes, Crystal said something like, what you said was so dark that she couldn't even say it. And I said, that didn't happen. So what do you think about that, son? So she is actively, like this Kyle, who says she's a fixer, is actively bringing up this thing to try to turn Sutton against Crystal. Like, that's what she's doing here.
Well, right after she just spent the first month of this show trying to turn everybody against Sutton. It's like, but Kyle's your friend now. Kyle's really here. She's got your back. So Kyle's like, I mean, I still don't know what was said. Either Crystal's confused or I'm confused. And my money's on Crystal. And so Kyle is wearing like a glitter disco top with brown leather jacket over it. What? Like, why? So I don't know why that's even in there. But Sutton's like, well, I didn't say anything horrible. I didn't think. I don't know why we're going backwards. And when you go through something like Crystal and I did, let that tree stand still. Don't try to cut the tree down. Trees are cut down to build walls. Don't do Lexi like that. Don't do Lexi like that.
Yeah, because she's like, because this is like a twofer for Kyle, because she gets to both be angry at Crystal, because she's angry at Crystal because Crystal said you were too drunk, you don't remember. So she gets to both like get revenge on Crystal, and she gets a chance for Sutton's name to kind of get, you know, like sullied by whatever problematic thing that she said. So this is like all winning for this is all victory for Kyle. And I think, by the way, we can also agree that when Kyle's like, oh, I think that like one of us was confused. My money's on Crystal. I'm like, my money's on you, Kyle. Kyle has always been a terrible witness for all these fights. Let's go back to season one. I would never say that, Camille. I would never say that about you, Camille. Kyle, you're an unreliable witness. I'm sorry.
Unreliable witness. So Sutton is telling us, listen, I'm remaining calm because I know I didn't say anything I should be ashamed of or anything dark. And you see her like looking around, just trying to remember, like, what did I say? You know? I think Sutton knows what she's saying, because Sutton is trying way too hard to just be like, no, we're moving forward. We're moving forward. Rehash. No. There's only one hash here. We eat it with breakfast. We do not rehash. No hash at lunch. Like, she knows.
Yeah. So Garcelle is like, well, so Garcelle interrupts and is like, what are you guys talking about? And she goes, you know, well, what she alluded to made me feel like it was something that could change our dynamic if you had said something crazy. And so just like, watch your back with your new friend. That's all I'm saying. So I'm like, I don't know. I think there was I don't know why Garcelle's coming for Crystal all of a sudden. Where'd that come from?
Probably the good old-fashioned jealousy. Like, that was her best friend. And now Crystal and Sutton are buddy-buddy. And she's like, what the hell is this? You guys aren't friends. What is this fakery, you know?
She also probably did not like being told that, like, she was part of an unsafe space. So she's probably like, you know what? Fuck this woman.
So Garcelle's like, yeah, watch your back. So Garcelle tells us, you know, friendship's supposed to be about trust. And the minute she felt cornered, Crystal threw Sutton under the bus. And Sutton's like, we are not moving backwards. No rehash. The restaurant is closed. Let's work forward. That sisterhood. And Kyle's like, but I'm confused because the Sutton I know a year ago was so sensitive and emotional about everything. And now look at her. She doesn't care.
I'm like, that's because she has wind in her sails, because everyone loves Sutton from, you know, how she stood up to Erica. So therefore she feels confident about really anything she's doing right now.
You gotta love this show. They're mad at Sutton for crying all the time, and then Sutton comes back with all this confidence, and they're like, why isn't Sutton crying?
Yeah.
I mean, what the hell? We're trying to make her mad, and she's not even crying. So Sutton's like, can y'all stop talking behind me, behind my back? I mean, literally, it's hard today because my front is my back. So I know how it's confusing.
So Garcelle's telling Kyle, like, well, obviously Sutton doesn't want to go back there. I mean, well, of course Sutton doesn't want to go back there, because at best, it's just a reminder of when she said something tone deaf, and at worst, something problematic is going to come out. So of course she doesn't want to. So Kyle's like, I mean, you can't just say it was so awful. I mean, by putting it out there and leaving it open for people to guess and assume, people are going to assume their worst. They're just going to assume their worst. I'm like, or you could just trust Crystal, someone who's supposed to be your friend, that like whatever was said, it was patched up and they're moving forward. But what she said was not like she wasn't saying something in a vacuum. She was responding something, but it's all good. They've moved forward from it. And just like take it on that level and just move forward on that level.
Well, it's interesting because Crystal is both throwing Sutton under the bus, but she's also protecting
Sutton,
her. You know, yeah. So she's like doing both things. I think she's like, listen, the Sutton I didn't like said a stupid thing, but now I like Sutton, so I'm not gonna fuck over this Sutton because I like this Sutton.
Yeah, which I think is actually fine. Yeah. You like her now, so you're gonna fuck her.
Fuck yeah. The other Sutton, you know.
She's like, but no, so, I'm not like a. But don't make me look like a crazy person who's just like pulling out race cards. You know, like she's like, I was reacting to something.
Yeah. So, well, I think that whole thing was she sees Sutton. She doesn't like Sutton. She didn't like Sutton at all at first, period. Sure. This thing, period. So I think that she was probably thinking like, oh God, this girl who doesn't see race. So when Sutton started her whole, why can't we just all be humans? And she's like, oh good. Tell me you're that girl, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think it. She was that girl. Turns out she was that girl. So it's like Crystal wasn't wrong because yeah. Sutton was like, yeah, we are all this. I just don't understand.
Which is why it's a little unfair of Garcelle to say, I felt like no matter what she would have said, you would have done that. Because that's like, Sutton did exactly what what Crystal anticipated.
She did. But I think that Garcelle is more saying like, you're pretending to be so close with Sutton now, but you were a real asshole to her last year by putting her in that position and yeah. saying, you know, bringing up this whole racing and making her look like a racist, even though Sutton did say that stuff. So I think she's like, you were making her look like an asshole, but now you're best friends. Like, what the fuck is up with it? That's how yeah. I'm taking it.
I think it's actually a very nuanced situation, which is interesting because I think a lot of the points you make are very strong and salient. But I think that there's a lot of things that Crystal is saying that also like deserve consideration. And I feel like basically Garcelle just went at her and Crystal defended herself. And now they're like, they're more mad that they feel like Crystal threw Sutton under the bus. The degree to which Crystal is throwing Sutton under the bus is all based on how much they want that to be. They are the ones creating the bus.
About it over and over.
They're the ones who are like
making this whole event.
It doesn't have to be a bus. You could have just thrown Sutton onto a road with light foot traffic instead.
Right,
but they actually summoned the bus.
Right, they are the best. So Kyle's like, well, you know, because Crystal comes over, because Crystal's having a great night. And like while they're talking about Crystal and Sutton, and Crystal, they show them talking and hugging and just like loving each other. So Crystal's like, so what's going on over here? And Kyle's like, well, actually, we're talking about La Quinta and that conversation that happened. And Kyle is now dressed like a Kit Kat girl in Cabaret. I don't know why. I don't know where she gets her clothes, why anybody lets it happen. But Jesus.
Not the Kit Kat girl in Cabaret. So she also looks like she may have been in a Kit Kat commercial.
So Crystal's like, you mean at the house? And she goes, yeah. And here's what I want to say. Because in that conversation, Garcette had feelings. And instead of defending yourself, you brought up Sutton. And I mean, I was there that night and I don't remember anything horrific that Sutton said. She goes, well, Kyle, here's the thing. You don't remember it, and that's fine. You were drinking. Carl's like, stop saying that. I do remember.
I'm a thespian, okay? I remember things for a living, okay? So Crystal's like, she's like, well, it probably doesn't affect you. In fact, I know it does. I know it doesn't affect you the way it affects me or affects Garcelle. So Garcelle's like, well, you got to tell me what she said, because in my mind, I'm thinking it's the worst.
And she goes, well, here we go again with Crystal's word choice. Dark is a very big word, because that could make me question our friendship and where Sutton stands on race. So Crystal's like, I am going to be very clear with you guys right now, okay? I'm telling you this. If we continue this conversation, no one is going to get a Capri Sun at the skating rink. I do not want to be told the word dark is too much, and then we start focusing on a word. And Garcelle's like, okay, well then don't say dark.
Just say what she said. Spill the tea, honey. So Crystal's like, she said something problematic, and it's obviously something that's forgivable. Which, by the way, listen guys, it was bad, but it's forgivable, as you can see, because I forgave it. So that's all you really need to know about it, you know? And Garcelle's like, is it forgivable? And Crystal's like, well, that's why I'm here at the store.
Yeah. And so Garcelle's like, well, why won't you just say it? She says, because the question you asked me is very damaging. Like, it's very damaging to Sutton, which is another thing. It's like, Garcelle, why would you want her to say whatever it is and get Sutton and, you know?
Well, because she's like, if Sutton said something like really racist, then Garcelle would look kind of like a fool sticking up for Sutton all the time, which I think is understandable. But I also feel like, I don't know. I'm surprised also that Crystal was like, listen, I'll tell you off camera. But then again, if Sutton said something really terrible, should she be given some sort of like off camera, you know, grace? So I don't know. Now it's getting too nuanced for me to even figure this out.
I think she just said another stupid thing, like she was like saying the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah, just something tone deaf that she was like, you can't say that, and here's why we don't say we don't see color anymore, even though that was the thing to say when you were growing up that was nice. Now we don't say it because it's disregarding the other people's experiences, you know? Like trying to explain things to Sutton.
Yeah, so, that's what I figure it is. Something like
Crystal's
that.
And Crystal's like, if I say this, it's going to become a huge race thing against Sutton now, this year, and I'm not trying to do that, and they won't let it go. Everybody else won't let it go. So Sutton comes over now, and Kyle's like, well, it's about you. And she's like, well, that's no surprise because normally I'm not around when it happens. So anyone want to pat my back? Because you will be molesting me. Don't do it.
You can just keep doing these like backwards, like torso jokes. And I'm just going to giggle like a child every single time. I'm like, again, Ronnie. So Sutton's like, so Garcelle's like, well, Sutton, this is... I told Crystal, like, I want to know because I'm thinking the worst, etc. Sutton's like, you know what? I have done this already. I've apologized. I've learned a lot since last year. I changed a lot. And I don't know exactly what I said. I truly mean this. I cannot take it unless we go forward. I cannot. We must move forward. And
now, tonight I'm walking backwards, but only in this outfit. Because it's forwards, okay?
I'm a little torn on which direction to walk any given moment, okay? It's like that movie All of Me, except I'm Lily Tomlin and Steve Martin is this blazer, okay? So
so Kyle's like, well, that sounds nice on paper, but I think Garcelle is worried that it's worse than what it could have been. You know, now it's a big deal. And she says that she thinks Sutton's so afraid that she did say something that she doesn't remember that she just wants to drop it, you know? And Kyle's like, but I was there, and I heard everything, and that's not what happened.
Okay, Kyle. Kyle's track record on listening, I mean, should we just roll the tapes about Nanny K? Who's Nanny K again? Well, who?
Even in this episode, Doreen goes, oh, Kyle, I'm filled with such anxiety. And Kyle goes, is my boob popping out? Tell me if my boob pops out. Tell me.
Kyle is like, they've had montages of Kyle being a bad listener. And now she wants to be like, I remember everything from that night.
Oh, yeah. So basically they talk and Crystal's like, listen, I'm over it. What we're not going to do. So Dorit's like, oh, Crystal knows what she's doing. She's creating a scenario and then she's refusing to say what's in the scenario. Chee! That's blue. That's dirty. It's almost bully. It's almost bully.
So Dorit's like, my take on it is that it was in defending yourself, you went, gee, you opened up a can of worms. Defend yourself without saying something that you're not prepared to say. And Crystal's like, it would never have been enough, Dorit. Whatever I said, it never would have been enough. And she goes, but it's still not enough because you're not prepared to share. So they're getting into like the circular thing about cans of worms, etc.
And Sutton's like, the thing is, the can of worms that she opened, the worms are dead. They are expired. No one eaten the worms, okay? No one. There's no hash. There is no worms. All right.
That is like
Diana goes, who's dead? The worms? And they're like, a can of worms. She goes, well, but you see, it's so hard to follow. Worms are dead. That's what I hear.
And I'm allergic to dead worms, so I think I should probably go soon.
They live in dust. They live in the wet dust.
Dust worms. It's like that movie Dune. So then Crystal is like, she's like, you know what? I got a question I had to answer and I have to defend myself. And then Garcelle's like, but why did you use the word dark? I'm like, Garcelle, she specifically said, like, don't focus on the word choice. And Crystal's like, she's like, we talked about this, Garcelle. Do not tell me what words to use. You are not allowed to police my words.
And she tells us, how is dark a big word even? It's one syllable. One vowel. I mean, it's a pretty simple word.
So now Garcelle's accusing Crystal of planting a seed, and you know, and Crystal said she didn't want to even bring this up because she thought it was resolved. And Garcelle's like, well, here's Crystal with a new word, but it's not resolved at all.
Dark.
Because you created a new issue out of it. You literally created out of nowhere, out of like just this thing, you know?
So Crystal's like, so what we're not going to do is question my integrity. And that's when I'm going to stop, because I know where I stand, period, at all times. And Garcelle's just like, okay. And so then they let everybody give dramatic looks. Everyone's like, and then we go to Dorit.
Bubbleish, I've got my EDMR PQ. Session tonight, PK.
But guess what? I got good news for you, Dorit. I talked to Boy George. He's an expert on trauma, okay? And he said, comma, chameleon is what you will be experiencing soon.
Trauma chameleon.
Trauma.
You know, listen, let me tell you, I spoke with Boy. He has put plenty of drug-addicted twinks through trauma by chaining them to radiators while he's bonked out of his mind, all right? And he's always gotten them through lawsuits with EMDR, babe, all right? It's like Boy George is giving someone advice on getting trauma? Over trauma. How many people has Boy George traumatized? Might want to do a news search on that one, PK.
He wanted me to know that when it's late at night and you hear the door open, just say to yourself, do you really want to hurt me? Do you really want to let me go? Is that the rest of the lyric? I can't remember. So she's going to have a therapy session. So this lady Val comes in, played by Amy Brenneman. And
right. Oh my God, I love Amy Brenneman. She's too. On Shining Girls. No, that's
she
not
always
Amy
works. Good for her.
Amy Brenneman's from Judging Amy, right?
No. Judging Amy. Yeah. Amy Brenneman's from that. She's in from like a million things. She's just in things. She's around. She's great.
Yeah, she's in Shining Girls.
She always had that like world weary face. She, like she's been through shit, but she's still going to show up and she's always going to like make you a grilled cheese sandwich.
And
you know?
Yes. And I love that she's in everything. She was in The Leftovers, one of my all time favorite shows. So good in that. She was in that weird show Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton. She played a total weirdo. I love her. You go, Amy Brennan, man. I'm so glad you have a side hustle.
I know.
Get EMDR.
I'm looking at her right now. And you know what? She also, like, she looks great. Jeez, I mean, I know we shouldn't judge on those things, but she really looks great.
You're only supposed to not judge on things when people are ugly, not when they look good. You're allowed to say they look good. You're just not allowed to say, God, she's really gone downhill. You're supposed to say, like, she looks great.
Yeah, I forgot she had a whole run on
nice
Fraser.
To say, don't open a can of expired worms.
She is wonderful. And she was even on Murder, She Wrote. She was on an episode called A Christmas Secret. I mean, hello.
Full circle.
Talk about range.
So this scene is actually, you know, sad and stuff. It's and really so this is Dorit getting therapy for her break-in and stuff. So I don't really want to make fun of. I mean, I could.
There's nothing to make fun of. It's a pretty. It's a sad scene. She's basically like reliving everything, and she's like thinking the worst possible thoughts, like imagining the worst possible thing, imagining the worst possible headlines, and she's like really just sobbing there. But I also am appreciative that she is throwing herself into therapy and being honest about these sort of fears that she's feeling, because I feel like she wouldn't be able to move past this moment unless she sort of like really let this stuff out. So, you know, I'm happy that she's handling it, and it's sad. And
well, I'm happy you're happy. Okay, this is how I watch Housewives. Sad scene comes. turn it off in my head and repress it. When I die, or when I have like an emotional breakthrough and suddenly I'm letting go of all these feelings inside of me, whatever they are, this is what they're going to be. It's like, Dorit, can you believe what happened to Dorit? It's going to be like 2062. And I'm going to be like, yeah. Before I die, I just have to say, I've never gotten over the Dorit trauma. So I'm going to be buried housewife scenes that I refuse to talk about.
I'm just surprised that we didn't hear PK in the next room being like, red light, green light. God, I love this Squid Game.
I thought this show was going to be about calamari. Squid Game. At least there is a word of the day.
At least there is a prominent cookie segment.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks so much for being here. That brings us to the end of Beverly Hills. We sure love you guys. Thanks for being on demand, all of you who were here. And if you want some more on demand, this week was also Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip Ex-Wives Club. So that's video as well. And we will see you, I guess, tomorrow for Real Housewives of Dubai.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Dana C, Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
Wee McLovin, Karen McClelland.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
She's our queen, Marie Levine.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors. Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Paging Paige Mills, Paging Paige Mills.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.